The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Michael White, and this is the first of this year's Guardian Party Conference podcasts. Here in the yellow-draped Birmingham Conference Centre, two major themes confront Liberal Democrat delegates. The economy, of course. It will be the major theme of all three conferences, and as so often in September, is getting worse by the day. But also here in Birmingham, how to save the Lib Dems from the kind of ballot box oblivion they sampled in this year's local elections, May the 6th. Don't take my word for it. Nick Clegg knows he has a job on his hands this week.
We've had a really, really tough year. A really tough year. The likes of which I think many of us probably couldn't predict and certainly don't want to repeat. But we've got to stop beating ourselves up about it. We've just got to now... A political party that doesn't move forward always ends up going backwards. And I know the instinct, I feel it myself, we kind of look in the rearview mirror at all the people who are still kind of ranting about why did you go into coalition with the Conservatives, why did you do this, why, who are kind of angry, the supporters who we've lost. But you know, at the end of the day, we explain to them calmly over and over again why we did what we did, and that our conscience is clear on the big judgments. Not on individual decisions, not on individual announcements. Sure, we can improve. On the big judgments, we have nothing to apologise for.
The fate of the economy, much of it well beyond the coalition's control and the party's own future within its control to a point, are, as they know too well in Birmingham, very much intertwined. Today was the turn of Business Secretary Vince Cable, often one of the most colourful speakers of the season, cerebral, well-argued, but also humorous, today in very Jeremiah-ish mood. As he looked out over the podium, he proved in no mood to disclaim his sometime nickname, Dr. Gloom.
When my staff saw my draft of this speech, they said, well, you know, we can see the grey skies. Where are the sunny uplands? And I have to say, I'm sorry. I can only tell it as I see it.
Cable had less reason for gloom than usual this morning because he'd just come from a good news briefing and photo op at the West Midlands, a local Jaguar Land Rover plant where new investment is promised, always good news. And he had a couple of modest proposals directed at those self-promoting, overpaying boardrooms.
I've asked Professor John Kay, together with Sir John Rose, the former boss of Rolls-Royce, whose company embodies responsible capitalism, to look at how we make our stock markets and institutional investors get out of this short-term speculative mindset. And I'm separately consulting on how best to tackle the escalation of executive pay, which in many cases has lost any connection with the value of shares, let alone average employee pay.
Vince Cable has had a tough year, one way or the other. Remember the Daily Telegraph's sting and the Sky B bid shambles. But a no conference speech from him would be complete without a well-aimed jibe or two at political rivals and indeed sometimes his political friends. He reserved his most barbed comments on this occasion for some of his coalition allies on the Conservative right.
Some of them, for example, believe that if taxes on the wealthy are cut, new revenue will miraculously appear. And I think the reasoning is something like this. All those British billionaires who demonstrate their patriotism by hiding from the taxman in Monaco or some Caribbean boat hole will come rushing back to pay more tax at a lower rate. Well, I'm afraid my view about this is pull the other one.
Delegates hung on every word, as well they might, the solemn mood reflecting their awareness that the party's fortunes are hitched closely to an economic recovery, which seems more and more elusive within the time frame of now to the election in 2015. Out on the conference fringe, it was this question that dominated the Guardian's event. What do the Lib Dems need to do to avoid electoral doom? Do they need a midterm makeover? Former leader, ex-Royal Marine Paddy Ashdown, still a big favourite and crowd puller here, reached for a familiar military metaphor.
There's a great moment in the Battle of Waterloo when the battle hangs in the balance. Napoleon has launched his Imperial Guards and the British guards are standing in the behind the hill where they can't see them. And the French artillery has found the range of the British troops very accurately indeed and are banging what we used to say in the Royal Marines, 10 bells of shit out of them. And Wellington rides up and he says, "Hard pounding, gentlemen, hard pounding. You've got to hold your position. Not a makeover. We've got to go on doing what we have been doing. I think we have now found the right balance for a coalition, Terranova, new kind of politics. We're inventing something that's never been done before. But our future depends on it, and so does the future of partnership politics. I think we've got it right, and I think the thing to do now, the first thing to do now, is to stand firm. We will be judged 3 years' time, 3 years down the line, by how well we can provide good, steady government for our country at a time of crisis, how well we can bring our country through that crisis, and, of course, how well we are able to ensure that the government is informed by the liberal principles by which we stand. So no makeover. Keep it going as it is.
One member of the audience hinted that, yes, the party needs to do much more than simply say, look, we tempered the worst policies the Conservatives would have put into place if we'd not been around. But it was Theresa May's deputy as Equalities Minister, Lynn Featherston, who hinted that the Lib Dems really do have influence and clout, but behind the scenes.
I think some of the breaks, I would disagree, some of the breaks we've put onto the Conservatives have been fantastic, but you'll never know about them. However, when I said in the first answer, I think we're getting the hang of coalition, what I mean is there was a bit of a straitjacket in those first few months when we were a bit nervous about declaring our distinctiveness. But I really can't imagine a solely Conservative government having announced that we're moving forward for the consultation on gay marriage. And I really can't imagine, in my own portfolio, a Conservative government caring about body confidence or about a transgender action plan. So I think in our ways, in our own departments, in our own portfolios, we are all creating that distinctive agenda. And I have to say, supported by our Conservative partners, because you know, you learn from each other.
It was left to party president and one of the conference's indestructible cheeky chappies, Tim Farron, MP for Westmorland and Lonsdale, to attempt to locate that bit of sunlit upland that had earlier eluded Dr. Vince.
You don't see the panic here that you might expect if you went to one of the other party conferences and they were in a similar position. It's because, let's be honest, we've been here before and we bought the T-shirt and we would come out the other side. But that doesn't mean we're complacent about it. I mean, the bottom line is we saw the loss of hundreds of colleagues who did not deserve to lose in May, in Scotland and in Wales, actually, but in particular in local government throughout the country. And we have to learn those lessons. We can't arrogantly think that the electorate got it wrong. We've got to understand that we are responsible for our own destiny. So I am confident we're going to recover and do well at the next general election because I have confidence in this party's ability to learn to move forward. And also, as Vince mentioned earlier on, to remember that the way we have always recovered from the depths before is by understanding what we're about, what we're for, and the theory and the practice. Practice of community politics is absolutely our ticket to the sunlit upland.
Well done, that man. But as delegates filed out, I was able to take an early reading of the party morale, and Tim Farron's words seems to have helped things a bit for some.
Yeah, I learned that, you know, obviously we're the best party and our MPs know what they're talking about. It's great. Really enjoyed it.
I would add to that that there are challenges out there to rise to and we're the best people to rise to.
I was very impressed by the level of discussion in there. I often get the feeling, you know, that as a party, we're rather ahead of the times. I think Paddy was putting his finger on some of the problems facing the world, perhaps in 25 years' time. It's all very well to be prescient and on the ball about these things, but people, generally speaking, don't vote for things in the future. They vote for here and now, which is rather depressing, really. I'm very proud to think that we are thinking all that way ahead, and I wish the electorate could catch up with us, frankly.
Now, here we've got two really high-powered brains just come out of the Guardian meeting. Will Hutney, the Observer, midterm makeover. Did you learn anything in there?
What did I learn in there? I learned that they are in good heart, surprisingly good heart. I learnt that this responsible capitalism thing is going to run and run, and that this is a party that remains pro-European. I'd actually forgotten that the Liberal Democrats were pro-European, and they got a good round of applause for that.
David Rennie, whom I can exclusively reveal, writes the Badgett column in The Economist. What did you make of responsible capitalism, pro-European? Will Hutton write about that?
Yeah, there's always... I mean, I think the Liberal Democrats have a strange deal, don't they, which is that if you're at very low numbers in the opinion polls and you think that you have a sort of greater enlightenment about how the universe should be run than anyone else, you have to explain that to yourself. And I think that at the moment, that perhaps the slight concern for people who admire them from afar is that they're explaining this by basically sort of reassuring each other and hugging each other a lot and reminding each other about how they were right in Iraq and right on climate change. And they're not actively engaging with the fact that the public may be walking in a slightly different direction away from them.
Well, they're saying the public will thank us one day, but we may all be dead when they do, certainly after 2015.
Well, I thought one of the interesting gaps on the panel was that Pani Ashton was saying the things that you heard leading Liberal Democrats say 2, 3, 5, 6 months ago, which was, by 2015, if there's an economic recovery, we'll be able to take a share of the credit. If he'd listened a little more carefully to Vince Cable, his colleague who sees the numbers day on, day out, he's, I think, signalling that things may not look very peachy in 2015. And I think that's a big question the Liberal Democrats have to answer.
Will Hutton, you were often gloomy about economic prospects of Britain and the West. Vince Cable said at the end of that speech, my staff say, we can see the grey skies, Vince, but where's the blue skies in your speech? And he said, there ain't any.
Well, I think he's completely right. I mean, I think that it's quite interesting that Vince Cable is carving out a quite interesting position, talking about a Rooseveltian New Deal, a Rooseveltian stimulus, actually trying to argue within the constraints they've got that there should be stimulus. I mean, I think that is... George Osborne will find some of that pretty unhelpful. But he's completely right. And actually, I think the story about British politics is going to be, over the next 2 or 3 years, how do these parties respond to rising and sustained and never-ending unemployment?
David Rennie, I can't remember whether The Economist is still arguing about whether the Rooseveltian New Deal actually worked or had tailed off by 1937. Is there a collective view?
The Economist is certainly looking at is there a need to change the pace of deficit reduction. I mean, I think, you know, the numbers are looking really, really horrible. And actually, I think one of the themes we'll see at all three party conferences is you need more voices like Vince Cable saying, actually, you know, for all of our internal navel-gazing here, the economy worldwide is about to fall off a cliff again. And that's what we should really be focusing on.
David Rennie of The Economist there, and The Observer's Will Hutton, rounding up a vox pop on an elevated note. So that's almost all for today from me here in Birmingham, a day in which I must say the Lib Dems have sounded rather more cheerful than I expected to, rather less angry with their leadership. It's as if they didn't lose all those seats. It's as if they're not scraping along on the bottom of the polls on, what is it, 9 or 11%. But then, as Paddy Ashdown said in one of his many jokes, I was once the leader of the party in the late 80s when our support was relegated in the opinion polls to a mere asterisk to indicate we didn't have any at all. So, cheer up, Liberal Democrats. That's what they say to each other all the time. This podcast was produced by Phil Maynard. I'm Mike White. Hope to see you again tomorrow.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.